Certain verses should inspire us as we read them in the Bible. Here are a couple of them that certainly apply to what we've been talking about the past few weeks. Proverbs 11, verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. That's an inspiring verse. The writer of Proverbs says, the one who wins souls is wise, the soul winner. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Those two are inspiring verses. Those who do all they can to turn people to God, to Christ, to His church, are considered wise, and they will shine like the stars forever and ever. You know, if I've been saved, I ought to be engaged in the work of saving others. I should be. I should be engaged in doing that in some way. How I go about doing that, of course, is optional. Whether I knock doors, whether I invite people to services, whether I pass out literature, whether I do home Bible studies, whether I use tapes, whatever. But regardless of what I do or how I do it, I need to do it. All of us are to be in some way soul winners. So what does the person look like who's a soul winner? In other words, how would I recognize him? What is a picture of a soul winner? When we look at our text tonight, by the end of the text, we'll have painted in this picture. We kind of have an outline to start with. And we're going to paint in what a picture of a soul winner looks like. So when we're done, we'll know and have a description of what a soul winner actually looks like. And that picture is actually going to come from the longest psalm, Psalm 119. And I encourage you to turn to that psalm right now, Psalm 119. And we will have a picture there of what a real soul winner looks like. Psalm 119. And our particular text will be verses 25 through 32. We've had lessons before from Psalm 119, and you know how it's separated into sections of eight verses. Well, these eight verses tell us what a soul winner looks like, and it's a marvelous description. The first thing we see is in verse 25, the first part of the outline that gets filled in. My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. Revive. Make me alive. The first thing we paint in of a soul winner is someone who is spiritually alive, because a dead sinner cannot preach and teach the living Christ out of the living Word. A dead sinner cannot do that. We must be spiritually alive. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And you he made alive who were dead in your trespasses and sins." We were made alive. We were made alive. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says that the Word of God is alive. It's living. It's active. It's powerful. Romans 1, 16, it's the power of God until salvation. It's strength. It's our authority. So if we're going to be spiritually alive, we must go to God's Word and be revived by it. Be revived by it. In John chapter 15, Jesus makes a very important point about being alive and what it means. John chapter 15, verse 5. Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." We can't bear fruit if we don't abide in Christ. That's what Jesus said. We have to abide in Christ. But to abide in Christ means that we are following His Word. One can't abide in Christ unless one is following His Word. So if we want to stay alive so that we can bear fruit, which partly certainly is bringing others to Christ, if we want to stay alive, then we have to be connected to Christ. We have to abide in Him by abiding in His Word that's active and living and powerful. So that's the first part of the picture that we're sketching in here, that we're painting. A soul winner himself must be spiritually alive. Otherwise, he can't tell other people about how to be alive. So that's the very first thing we see in verse 25. The second characteristic, the second part of the picture we are painting of a soul winner, is found in verse 26, the very first part. I have declared my ways and you answered me. This has to do with prayer. This has to do with prayer. I've declared my ways. I've declared them to you, and you have answered me. A soul winner has to be a person who is who continually prays. He is prayerful. H. Leo Bowles, in his book, The Ideal Teacher, makes the following statement. He who seeks to teach without prayer seeks to do God's work without God's help. We can't do God's work and expect to be effective without His help. We can't expect others to come to Christ. We can't expect others to obey Christ unless what? We have been praying for them, because ultimately it's up to them and God. So soul winning is God's work. Yeah, He uses us. He doesn't come down and appear miraculously to people anymore. He uses us. But it's still through Him. So we must go to Him, and we must be people who are praying for those who do not know God and do not know His Son. That needs to be a continual prayer of ours, a daily prayer. For those, especially the ones we know personally. So a soul winner needs to be a person of prayer. We read this morning this verse, but I want to read it again. Matthew chapter 9. And please turn with me there as we read these verses again. We read them in our class, our Bible class this morning. But they fit in with tonight's class very much. Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 36. Actually, let's go back to verse 35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. We need to pray for a great harvest. Pray for a great harvest. He says, there it is. Pray the Lord of the harvest. That laborers will be sent out, that there will be a great harvest. You know, if we want growth of the kingdom here, then we need to pray to God that it will happen. Is that part of your daily prayer? That you pray for this church here and for its growth? Well, we need to petition Jehovah daily for it. If we really want this church, this kingdom, to grow. So a soul winner, first, he must be alive. Second, he must be a person of prayer. The third part of the painting that we're filling in, the picture we're filling in, is found in the second part, verse 26, that says, teach me your statutes. I can't emphasize enough that we need to be a student of the Word and a lifelong student of the Word. We cannot ever stop studying God's Word. The better you know it, the more likely you are that you'll be able to be a better soul winner. You'll know God's Word better. You'll be able to answer God's people's questions about God's Word. You'll know where it's found in God's Word. All of those things are important. And especially study the book of conversions, Acts. There was a book written, I think it was in the 50s, about the book of Acts, and it was called The Hub of the Bible. The Hub of the Bible. And you know why? You take Acts out of the book of the Bible for a minute. And so you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four accounts of the gospel of Jesus' life and him coming dying on the cross and being resurrected and ascending into heaven, giving the Great Commission. And then you go to the book of Romans, and Paul talks to the church at Rome about the difference between faith and works and law and grace and all these things, and you go on. And it makes no sense. It doesn't make any sense without the book of Acts. That's why it's called the hub of the Bible. So study the book of conversions. And look at all the different ways that the gospel was taken. The situations, the circumstances. There's lots of methods of teaching the gospel, especially nowadays. There's so many different methods of getting that word out. Read about them. Read great books about evangelism, and there are many of them that are inspiring, that are informative, that will encourage you to be a soul winner in many different ways. So decide which method is best for you. Be a learner. Be a student. Know which one is best for you. And also, by being a better student, you'll be able to help people if they're involved in some sort of false religion. You'll help them to see what the truth is. So no wonder we need to be a student of the Word. We want to be able to answer people's questions. We had a whole series of lessons about what Paul did on Mars Hill in Athens in Acts chapter 17. And how he approached those people in that town. Those are the lessons that I call, we're not in Kansas anymore. And we are not in Kansas anymore. It's a very, very different world. And if we want to be able to really engage people in talking about what's important, then we need to be students of the Word and able to answer people's questions and ask them questions to get them thinking. That's what we want to do. The picture is becoming a little more complete. Now we go to the fourth one, verse 27. Make me understand the way of your precepts, so shall I meditate on your wonderful works. And the Hebrew word there for meditate is not just think about. The Hebrew word there includes meditating and thinking about, and then talking about what you were meditating on. So it's the idea of sharing what you have been meditating on. So you think about it, and you study, and then you talk. You tell others about it. So here's someone, a soul winner, ponders, thinks about, contemplates God's Word, and then, because of what he's been studying, speaks out and expresses it. He can't keep it up. He can't keep it inside. In Jeremiah chapter 20, there the prophet in verse 9 says this. Jeremiah had a very difficult time preaching. People didn't like to hear Jeremiah's message. And of course, he got exiled, he got put in stocks and chains and everything else because of what he was preaching. People didn't like his message. And you know what? He got tired of it after a while. But when he thought about how important the message was, then verse 9 comes along in Jeremiah 20. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, talking about the Lord, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. He was tired of how people was receiving his message, but he also understood he couldn't stop. He had to speak. The people he was talking to needed to hear his message. Well, the people in our world need to hear the message very much. The world has greatly changed since I was little in this church. More and more people, of course, are in the world, but more and more people don't believe in God or don't follow His Son or don't have any type of religious affiliation at all. So we cannot hold back. We must open our mouth. A soul winner opens his mouth at some point. We need to have that same attitude that Jeremiah had. We don't want to have the sin of a closed lip. Peter and John spoke openly. In Acts chapter 4, there were a bunch of people that didn't like their message. And they didn't like what they had been saying. Well, in Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 18, they respond. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. That's what the authorities were telling them. Stop telling people about Jesus and His church. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. That's the attitude we need. A soul winner opens his mouth at some point in time. Doesn't mean that's what he does at the very beginning, but at some point a soul winner opens his mouth. He knows God's word and knows what it says and knows that he needs to tell others that good news. Remember what we had in class this morning about Philip and Nathaniel? About different ones going to tell their brother, hey, this is the Messiah. This is the real thing. He's finally here. So they didn't keep it bottled up. They had to go tell people. The majority of people in our world don't know that Jesus is the real Messiah. They don't know that. So it's the same message we need to tell people. The picture is becoming more complete. Number five, verse 28 tells us some more information about what a soul winner looks like. My soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. A soul winner has to have compassion for the lost. A soul winner must have concern for the lost. People need to know how much we care for them. People need to know that. Going back once again to Jeremiah, there the prophet in Jeremiah chapter 9 verse 1 tells us this. Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 1. Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. See the concern, the care, the compassion that he had for his people? If we're concerned about people, and if we care about people, have compassion for people, then we're going to be motivated to tell them the truth. Not something that makes them feel good. They need to know the truth. We have to be firm. We can't water it down to make people feel good about themselves. You know, we've heard stories about how people have watered down certain drugs and sold them. Well, they don't work, do they, when they're watered down? The gospel doesn't work either if you water it down. The gospel, for it to be powerful, has to be given in its entirety. It can't be watered down or changed or diluted or anything like that. So we owe it to people to be honest about what the Bible tells them to do to be saved. We can't let on to people that they're saved when we know that they are not. That's not being compassionate. That's not caring. That's not showing concern. So we must tell people the truth. And it's so important what the condition of our heart is when we do it. There's a story of two preachers who both had the same message. Unless you repent, you will be lost. But how they delivered it, some of the people thought one was filled with sorrow, but the other seemed to be glad about it. So you see the difference it makes when we tell people the truth. They need to understand that we're telling them the truth for the right reasons. We're not glad that they're lost. But we feel compassion and that we care and that we're concerned for them. So soul winners, the type that God wants, need to have a good, compassionate heart. Look at how the soul winner's picture is shaping up. Then the soul winner, verse 29. Remove from me the way of lying and grant me your law graciously. Remove from me the way of lying. The soul winner has to live right. He has to be that person of integrity that we talked about this morning. Honesty is the basis for all of our moral character. You take honesty away and there's nothing really left. The Lord's soul winners need to be genuine. They need to be sincere. Someone once asked a foreign visitor what he thought of Christians in the United States. He said, I might have become one if I hadn't seen so many who claimed to be one. Why? They weren't living right. So if we want to be an effective soul winner, someone that people will actually listen to, then we must be living according to that code we talked about this morning. We have to be people of integrity or they will not listen to us. If they know we are not living right, they will not be concerned about what we have to say. So we need to be people of integrity who are genuine, who are sincere, so that people will listen to us. So we must live right. A soul winner must live right. Then verse 30. Chosen the way of truth, your judgments I have laid before me. I must be one who chooses the way of truth. I cannot choose what's popular or entertaining or fun. Truth is very narrow. Truth is very narrow. And when we're talking about being a soul winner and converting people to Christ, we're not talking about converting them to some sort of worldly organization. We're not talking about converting them to what's fun or entertaining or popular. We're talking about converting them to Christ. Unfortunately, lots of people in the religious world have given up converting people to Christ. And so instead, they try and convert them to something else. Something popular, something fun, something entertaining, something they'll enjoy. But the real soul winner chooses the way of truth always, even if it is narrow. Truth is very narrow. Error covers all the rest of the ground. You know, when we do a math problem, there's an answer. Now, there's a whole bunch of wrong answers, many, many, many wrong answers, but only one right one. So truth is very narrow. It's error. It's things that are false that covers all the rest of the ground. Things like there's only one church. That's narrow. Still the truth. Baptism is essential to salvation. That's narrow. But it's still the truth. On and on the list goes. There's only one cause for divorce and remarriage. That's narrow. Still the truth. So these are not popular, but they are the truth. And if we're going to convert people to Christ, then we must present the truth to them and choose the way of truth. That's what God's soul winner looks like. Verse 31. I cling to your testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame. The Lord's soul winner sticks to the word. He doesn't say, I think or I feel, but what does the Bible say? That's what the Lord's soul winner is concerned about. What does the Bible say? We mentioned also this morning in class about the Lord rebuking the Pharisees for doing what they wanted. They would tell people what was true, but they wouldn't do it themselves. They wouldn't obey the word. So the soul winner needs to not only speak the word, but keep the word. It's the gospel that's God's power to salvation. Nothing else is. I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. This should cause us all to want to be soul winners. Because the soul winner has the greatest news to proclaim of all time. No wonder Philip went to go get Nathaniel. Andrew went to get Peter. They had met the Messiah. The greatest news of all time. They had to go tell people who were close to them. So sharing this good news is what makes a soul winner a soul winner. And without it, they won't experience that joy of heaven. So we need to tell people about Jesus now, not later. That's a picture of a soul winner. That's what a soul winner looks like in God's eyes. Pictured there in those eight characteristics. And that's what we need to be as soul winners. We first have to be spiritually alive. We have to, just like those people on Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, we have to repent and be baptized just like them, immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. Just like them to be spiritually alive. But we can be cut off, as Jesus mentions in John 15. So we have to remain attached. We have to continue to abide in Christ by following His word. Most of the world has abandoned those concepts. But we have this divine appointment to take this message to the world. And that's what we must do. Tonight, an invitation song has been chosen to cause us to think about our own relationship to Christ. And if there is a need you have tonight, then we certainly encourage you to come as Danny leads us in this song. Let's stand, please.